Okay, so last week we were talking about the Malacha of Bora, and we saw the Gemara that on Ayin Dalin that told us a number of different things, trying to figure out an extremely obscure Braisa. So the Braisa, which is an Ayin Dalet, says at the Turatz, who the fun of Tanraban, who the fun of Mine Ochlin, right? Borav Ocha, Borav Meniach, Velo Yivrar, Rimbira Chayv Chatas. So we see that this Braisa tells us we have different types of food items, and you can separate and eat, you can separate and leave, don't separate, but if you separate it, you need to bring a Kormer Chatas, which we said last week, shows that it's a Doraisa. So what in the world is going on here? Right? Very ambiguous. It is one of these, you know, Chesuri Mechseras, but it's a Braisa, right? So it's we really need to figure out what's going on. And this leads to various statements of Amoraim who try and figure out this Braisa. So just to rehash, we saw the first statement was from Ula, and he wants to propose that this Braisa is referring to Bayom. However, if you want to do it for Machar, if you want to separate it for tomorrow, that you cannot do. And if you separate it for tomorrow, you're in trouble. Okay? So it's the difference between what's permissible and what's forbidden. Separating for today is permissible. Separating for tomorrow is problematic. And on this, Rav Chisda is understanding, can you bake today? If you want to eat today, can you bake today? Can you cook today? That's absurd. Since when do we care about the day? And therefore, he proposes that it's all about less than a shear. And on that, we ask the question, less than a shear? Understand? Just because less than a shear doesn't make you gross at tzaddik. Less than a shear, it's still forbidden. You might not get skidla, but it's still something which is aser. Right? Again, I don't want to get the whole sugya of pachos mishir. It's a very important shear. It's almost like a very important concept. I didn't say shear. That's can't use the same word in the same sense. It means different things, right? It's a very important sugya. It's a shas sugya, pachot mashir, asar Torah or not. It's the main source for it. It's found in Yuma, dealing with eating on Yom Kippur. So I don't want to go into it that much now, but regardless, pachot mashir is still problematic. So how could you tell me that it is permissible to do? Again, can you bake pachot mashir? Can you? Of course, that's absurd. Because again, the brisa seems to be l'chadchila, right? Bora v'ocha, no problem. It's fine to do, right? There's no provisions, no speculations. It's totally, you can do whatever you want. On this, Rav Yosef then says, no, it's all about your hand. You can separate with your hand. However, with a kanun and a tamchoy, which we saw last week, were these funnels and these sifting plates, that you're not allowed to do. And if you do it, it's patur v'aser, I mean, that's rabbinic. And if you use, however, like a real sieve, a real porous instrument, which is mamish used for sifting, for separating, that's Doraisa. So using your hand is permitted. Using a non-regular sifting borer item is rabbinic, and using what you always use to separate is Doraisa. And that's how it was explained. And on this we said, okay, but doesn't say so. You're introducing this kanon and tamchoy. Right? It's not, the language isn't there. Don't insert it into a Braisa. It's too far to insert, right? It's too much of an insertion, and therefore it's all about borav ochel mitoch psolas. It's what you're doing and how you're separating it. Is it food from refuse? Is it food from good from bad? Bad from good? And he says that is the difference. If you're taking ochel from psolat, and then that would be permitted. However, if you're taking psolat from ochel, that would be problematic, and that is your biblical prohibition. And on this, we said, but okay, you're changing the language of the Braisa. You understand? You weren't happy that I changed the language of the Braisa. You also changed the language of the Braisa. And then on this, it was La'alter, right? Not alter as in the person's name, but not La'alter on Friday, on Rosh Hashanah. La'alter L'chaim Tovim, although it actually means the same thing. La'alter means immediately. And that is what it's referring to, and that is you're separating Ochel from Solet. Borav ochel the altar. You're separating for now. Borav miniach the altar. Libo bayom lo yivur. And if you did it, it's as like you did it kibor la otzar, and then you're chayav a chatar. Okay, that we said was basically the end of our sugya on this topic. So the question is, are they arguing? Are they discussing? So that's what we needed to really understand. We spent a lot of time, and I don't want to rehash it. But we ended with last week was a Yerushalmi. And that's at the top of your page. The Yerushalmi says, this is going to help us trying to figure out the nature of Bor. The Yerushalmi says the following. Amar Rav Yudin, Yesh Shehu Borer Tzururot Kol Hayom. A person is separating out small little pebbles the entire day. So you have a mound of tvua, you have a mound of wheat, you have a mound of something, a food item, right? And you're separating out pebbles. And you're not chayev. I don't understand. Why not? I'm discarding small pebbles. How come I'm not chayev? And in one situation, you separate one small, because we said, by the way, to be chayev for borer, there is a shear, and there's a gugeret. You have to, right? Umiyah mitchayev. How? Heachavirita? How is this possible? Hayda yoshev al gabe akeri. You're sitting in this. Oh, look who's here. He's sitting on in the carry. What's a carry? There's a heap, right? Like I said, a heap of wheat, a heap of food items. Good morning. Right? And what do you do? Uboro tzurkoyom, and you're separating all day long, you're not chayav. However, you put some in your hand, and then in your hand, you then remove, you discard one stone, and you're chayav. So, what do we see from this Yerushalmi? What is this Yerushalmi saying? How is it possible that I could remove 200 stones from a heap, and it's totally, you're not chayav? Now, is an issur de Rabbanan? It could be, because the language is eino mitchayev, meaning eino mitchayev achatas. So, but regardless, from right, so it's not so clear that it's not mutter, right? It might not be mutter to do. But is that the right volume? I'll be careful. Yeah, okay, if you check the volume, then you're fine. I'm assuming they have more than one volume. So just make sure that's the right volume. Yeah? Oh, you start off, then you're fine. Okay. So, again, the Yerush. Do you have the. Well, you weren't here last week, so you don't have this. That's for you. Okay. So, again, the Yerushalmi says that when you separate a whole bunch of stones from a pile, you're not chayav. However, you then take some of these and you put it in your hand, you discard a stone or two. And there's enough of a kogeret in your hand, so the question we asked is, what is the definition? What's the difference in Bavli and Yerushalmi? Is there a difference? What are they arguing over? How do they understand the nature of what border is? And this is going to help define the Isser. Assist us maybe a little bit and what's going on, and as well, will actually give us insight into practical halacha. Okay, so let's begin. What's the difference between Bavli and Yerushalmi? What is the Yerushalmi focusing on, and what is the Bavli focusing on? Let's begin. How come Yerushalmi is saying that I can separate and remove 200 stones from a pile, and I don't have violate the Isser Daraisa of Borer? There are 400 stones. I separate 200 small little pebbles from this big heap. Yet, I discard one pebble of what's in my hand, and I'm a chayav. Why? Yeah.
I can say what we said last week.
Oh, what did we say? What did we end with the last 30 seconds last week? What did we say?
I think what we said is that in the case where he's separating all day, he's not completed the act of the borer. He hasn't attained his borer goal, as it were. Whereas in the case of the Gemara, he finished the entire separation process and he got what he wanted.
Okay, very good. We said last week something very interesting. If you separate 200 out of 400 pebbles from this heap, what do I have in front of me? I still have a heap of pile with 200 pebbles. I have not accomplished my goal. I might have spent 6 hours doing something, and it might be extremely frustrated, and it might be extremely annoying and tedious, but at the end of the day, I still have a pile which I cannot access and I cannot eat because there's a bunch of pebbles. But in my hand, the moment I've removed one pebble, in my hand, I now have a food item. There are those who want to argue that the Yerushalmi is telling us that what is the definition of borer is, let's use the term, tikkun ochel. Tikkun ochel means, what is borer, is when I'm metaking my food. I have food which is inedible, it is filled with pebbles. By removing pebbles, I make it edible, and I violate the daraisa. So therefore, if I remove only two borer, I remove the pebble. And therefore, I violated the Yisr Doraisa of Borer.
So, shouldn't you be high like 200 times?
So why aren't you high 200 times? It seems that according to Yerushalmi, here's my whole pile. Remember, it's interesting. Look at the language of Yerushalmi. Look what he says here. Hayoshev Agabe Akeri. His goal is this whole pile. Right? He views, so yes, so I have areas in this pile that I could eat this part of the pile, but I'm not looking at it as a separate, I'm looking at this as an entity. Since this entity, which is quite large, is not edible, I haven't accomplished my borer goal. If I did not accomplish my borer goal, then I did not violate the daraisa of borer. Because if my goal of borer is tikkun ochel, if I didn't be metakin my ochel, I never did borer. Something. Again, we're not saying, probably it's an issue of the Rabbana. Right? But I didn't do my Doraita because I wasn't metaking my ochel. Whereas if I have a small amount in my hand, removing one pebble, this is the only amount I'm interested in. And that's why the language of Yerushalmi is fascinating, right? No tel letoch yado kegogeret. Right? He separated out. This is the only amount I'm interested. It's the shear of something which is edible, which is a grogeret. And I've, by the way, grogeret means it's the minimum shear of food. You understand what it's highlighting? It's highlighting food consumption. The moment I've created an edible entity, which is the smallest amount of food to be eaten, I violate the right. That's exactly, it's focusing on something which is edible. Whereas the Bavli never mentions Gogar. Again, I'm not saying the shir isn't Gogar according to the Bavli. But it's not being focused on. It's not being highlighted. So there are those who want to argue that there's a machloka between Bavli and Yerushalmi here. That the Yerushalmi is focusing on Tikkun Ochel. If it's focusing on Tikkun Ochel, what might the Bavli be focusing on? Look what it's highlighted. It's Siv and Sifting. And miyad and biyad. Oh, look at the language, right? It's ochel mitoch psalat. Psalat mitoch ochel. Right? The language here in the Yerushalmi seems to be void of at least highlighting these points of it. The Yerushalmi does mention this, but it's interesting that these sugya, when it comes to borer in the Bavli, right? The food isn't highlighted. It doesn't seem to be about tikkun ochel. It seems to highlight what's borer? It's getting rid of the ichi stuff, to use the very complicated scientific language, right? I want to remove the psolat. That's what borer is. Listen to the language. Borer. I'm separating. So what are you separating? You remove the psolat. Right? It's not about, of course I want to eat, but borer seems to be all about separating. What am I separating? I'm going to remove the psalat. What's enough? Why does this matter? Okay. Take a look at the hand down in front of you. This is certain things that have like hashkacha in the world of halacha that like become super famous. This is one of the most super famous tuzzes that exist, right? And this is used in many different areas in halacha. Take a look at this tuzz. It's in Orchaim Simon Shin Yotet, which is who give word. I am a shakat of Mize and Sif. Fine. Meinyan Metitza Perot about squeezing fruit. Don't worry about the issue there. Oh, this is what I care about. Go to the end of the line. Yesh isur Kishinoflim zivuvim lakos. Let's say you have flies. You know, waiter, I have a fly in my soup, right? This is where it comes from. I have no idea. Oh, wait a second. What was the Yosef? Yeah. Fine. Right. Right? There's a right. That's what the Sarmashkim. That's what the Medrash says. Right? There was a. That's what he did wrong. That's why he got thrown into jail. Right? Okay. So there you go. I guess also flies are attracted to, you know, sweet, you know. They're not drinking water. They're drinking wine. So I think flies are attracted to sweet substances. Maybe made that up. I've no idea. I assume it's right. Okay. What? Fruit flies for sure. Right? Okay. What are you not allowed to do? Shelo yotzi hazvuvim levadan min hakas. You're not allowed to remove the flies. The havilei borer psolet, because you're just removing the chazarah, the psolet, the garbage. We don't want. What must you do? Yikach min hamashrek ktzat imahen. What must you do if you find a fly in your soup, fly in your drink, remove what? A little bit of like with it. Now, forget about, like, you know, what your mother's going to say. And, you know, like, most people, I'm not saying that would be sufficient, you know. They'd probably discard it, maybe, if they saw a fly in their soup. I'm not going to ask you if, what you would do if you just remove it and then drink the rest. I don't know.
For halachic reasons?
No, not for halachic reasons. For gross reasons. Yeah? I don't know. Marsha, I'll tell you a case in a second. Happened to me. True case. But he says you have to take. This is a very famous case. This is like a super famous. Maybe you didn't realize it was a Taz and this and that, but it's a very famous case about removing flies from a cup. Now, if the Taz says that you're allowed to remove some food with this fly and then it's permissible, which definition might he be going with and why? The Bavli or the Yerushalmi? What do you think?
Bavli.
Why do you think the Bavli?
Because he's saying, oh, it's no longer a home. It's no longer put in the hotel. Are you taking some of the food with it? So open the hotel. That's okay.
Oh, by taking food. Listen, am I allowed to cut a piece of chicken in half? Yeah. So that's what you're doing. When you have a piece of chicken, and you cut a piece of chicken in half, so why is that any different than removing food, liquid, that has... Oh, flying it, but all I'm doing is cutting my soup, whatever. This was a bad example, but you got my point, right? So by taking food with it, I'm just kind of like, okay, there's something now. So again, if my whole goal, you tell me the whole point is to eliminate the psalat, I'm a little upset, but I'm also taking food with it. That might be the understanding of the Taz why he allows it. Okay, the Chazon Ish. He is not happy. Lichora, b'chol bor p'sol b'dachocha. Af im yigach k'tzam minocham. Im p'solat aser. Why? Kol shedato al ha'ochel hanishar shiyeh barur. Ela shinochasu dek shelo yalemat minochel p'solat. Come on. This is a joke. This is not edible. You cannot eat. No normal person would eat the soup. Would have this cup of wine with a fly floating there. So by removing the fly, even with food, what are you doing? Your food is now edible. You're being, to use the language that we said before of the Yerushalmi, tikkun ochel. You went from, how was I metachin ochel? I removed the psalat. You want to tell me I took food with it? So what? Why does that matter? I took something that was essentially a mixture that was not edible, by discarded the ichi stuff, the psolet, and now it's edible. That is... So we took a food with it. Why does it matter? It's a joke. What's your dot? Come on. What's your intention? What's your goal? What's your objective? Is to be metakin to fix my food. Just like this whole pile is not edible, I need to remove the pebbles. So once I remove the pebbles... So if I take a piece of another, you know, food item with the pebbles, so what? Why does it matter? Mm-hmm. That's what he seems to suggest. He So take a look. Panin yiret shepula to mochichalav. This person's action is demonstrating what? She'in kavana to lechalek hamashkeh l'two. The two kelim. You're not cutting this chicken in half. You're not, you know, only having half this bowl of soup. Come on. It's a joke. Ella dato, here we go. Linakot et akos min hazvuv. You want to remove the zvuv. Ubama nigra malachto b'mashal kechza min hamashkeh. What does it matter? Why does it diminish from your malacha if you're taking some of the soup, of the wine with you? You can't take the... What?
Because it's only because of the loophole. You're only taking the soup because it's to make it mutter. So you don't want it.
So we see the Chazon Ish is not very happy with this taz.
But I'm still not sure for which reason. Because the soup, this wine doesn't matter, and it worries so much of the
what, I'm removing so from
Ochel. He's not saying it's Tikkun Ochel per se.
You had something which was not edible. I'm fixing my food. It wasn't edible.
Yeah. I agree, but I wonder which is he more worried about? Like, is he saying is it open to solid, but that's still Tikkun Ochel, so awesome. Right, so it's a nice
table. Tikkun Ochel. I mean, look at what happens, right? Look what's happening here. You have a situation where, if it was just a matter of removing the psolet, so by taking food with the bug, you could say that he even would argue on that and understand it, right? That you're saying, well, what's your intention here, right? If the Bavli's definition is removing the psalat, so you're removing the psalat. The fact you're taking food with it,
right,
is a mirage,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
That's what it sounds like you're saying.
It seems like you're saying that.
Right. I mean, so you could be. Poured out the soup into another bowl and left the fly and then be okay.
If you poured the soup out,
no, without the fly, and the fly needs something left.
Right. If you're able to get the fly to one side and pour it out, then it'd be great because the fly then, like, mamash touched the entire thing. It'd be great. Then, right? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a true story. This goes back. It was the summer of 98, I think. Wow, that's a long time ago. And I was Rosh Moshe at the time. And we discovered in camp in Ennismore, we're eating, having Friday night soup. What we noticed is that in the soup, there's all these, a lot of pepper in the soup. I remember looking at it, I'm like, that's a lot of pepper. You know, the camp's not necessarily known to use a lot of fresh black pepper. And then as you closely investigated and looked at your soup, you're like, that's not black pepper, those are bugs. Now we're talking in, I mean, the word infinite is not the right word to use. A lot. Let's just say it didn't matter what shita you held, it would be very difficult to eat the soup, either because I think you might have been okay with shishim, maybe, but you definitely would not be okay with borer and with grossness. And the problem is that you had to look really carefully to see if it was a bug. So there for sure were people who didn't notice it right away.
How did this happen?
So it appears that when they bought, I don't know, the onions or whatever, vegetables were contaminated.
It's like tons.
With like tons and tons of some bugs.
Some batches of this really buggy.
What?
Some batches of this really, really.
Yeah. Must have been the vegetables they bought were filled with bugs, and they dumped it all in. They weren't alive. They were all dead, because they were all cooked. So they weren't like floating around. Then you would notice them faster, right? They would have been alive. But boiling soup, they're going to be dead, right? So, you know. It happens, you know. It doesn't happen in your house that often, but if you ever go outside, you know, sukkahs, if you ever Eventually we'll get to eat outside. Not yet. I don't know if you people ate lunch outside yesterday. I don't know, maybe. Pre-lunch, maybe you could have a kiddush outside yesterday, but then by the afternoon it got pretty cold. So, but you know, you have to be... Okay, leaf would be the same thing, right? Leaf falls in your soup, be the same in your food. Okay, so that's the Chazon Ish. Now, what's a halach l'mayis? The Mishnah Berurah. He says... Ella, what's that? So he seems to be mekel. He does not seem to be choshesh for the Chazon Ish. So definitely, there's going to be lenient that you're not to be worried. You could be take a little bit of ochel. Now, by the way, we're playing with deraisa here. What?
Bor is weird like that. It's like
Bor is weird like that. So it's fascinating, and this is what's so fascinating, is that all of a sudden, right? Like the Chazon Ish is saying, you do that, you violated Doraisa. Whereas the Taz, Mishbor says, it's mutar lachatchila. Right? Not like Durban. That's a pretty large, you know, gap between these two shitas. And generally speaking, you'd be like, hey, you're not even choshesh. So he's not even choshesh with Shami. He's not choshesh with Chazon Ish. I mean, you know, not, I mean, like, that's it. The Taz is Meiko. Moshe Berurah seems to quote it. So, but again, you have to argue that by taking food with the psolet, you're basically just cutting it in half. Yes, what's your intention? Okay, it's your intention, but... Again, okay, obviously has to be done with your... You can't use a sieve. You can't use but you've used your hand. By the way, you can use a fork. We said it last week. Fork or spoon. Can you use a fork or spoon? Yeah, because the halacha is that forks and spoons are extension of your hands. Meaning, what's the reason why you use a fork? Okay, your hand's dirty. But it's basically your hand. It's not considered a borer clay. It's not considered a sieve or a sifta, right? It's just extension of your hand. So, that's why it's... okay. That's a very interesting... and really... I don't know. This is the Mishnah has bothered me. This kula of the Mishnah Berurah. Listen, I understand why everyone's mako, but I don't know. To me, he has a very strong question. What's your intention? It's a joke. You take a little food with it. Just because you're taking food with it, you're totally not doing boring. I got it. That's what he says. Okay. Next. So again, there are those who want to argue that there's machloket bavli Yerushalmi. Machloket is about tikkun ochel versus psolet. Can you fit this machloket between Chazon Ish and Taz or Chazon Ish Berurah in there? Okay, that's the maybe, maybe not. Those are some of the suggestions. Okay, next, let's move on. What I want to do now is I want to ask the following question. We read in the Bavli. We had all these conditions. So what do I mean? What if I do have... let's go back to a case of fish and bones, right? We said last week that the classic food is gefilte fish was made because you need to have fish on Shabbos and you can't have bones because of borer issues. So about gefilte fish, there's no bones in there. They've been kind of grounded up in your food. You should know that, by the way, right? In theory. What? Yeah, that's why gefilte fish is a classic, you know, Jewish food. Now, it was created for halachic reasons. Well, let's say I'm not zochet to gefilte fish. Instead, I'm not zochet to have expensive filleted salmon, but I have bones with my fish. How can I eat that on Shabbos? So, what do we see? The conditions that the Gemara suggests, which are codified in Halacha. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, here, I'll tell you what you can do. So again, take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Habor, I'll read this quickly, because I'll have a repeat of the Gemara. Habor, Habor, Ocho, Mito, Psolet, Osher, Lefarzman, Ochlu. Ubor, Min, Min, Acher. Minafe, Bekir, Achayev. If you want to separate two types of food items. You're using a sieve or whatever. Dish of deraisa. Right? If you're using something which isn't normally used as a borer device, like these funnels or these large plates, pater v'laser. However, in bir biyado, if you separate with your hand, meaning you don't use a separating device, Kedei lachal altar, and you want to eat right now, so you can use your hand or fork. You can eat it right now. It's permissible to do. Okay? Says the Rama, the kol ma shebora letzorach otah se'uda shemiyasev ba miyad, mikra altar. What's the definition of altar? It doesn't mean you're eating in 10 minutes. It means upcoming meal. It's all machlokas if you can go to shul or not. Right? Is that considered a half sack going to shul an hour? But today, we usually have big meals, you know, a lot of people. So even doing it 2 hours early, we consider the altar, even though you're not eating another 2 hours, people do prepare 2 hours for lunch. It's not so crazy. Obviously, Friday night's not an issue because it's not Shabbos. But this is for lunch. Shashur is. Okay, fine. V'afilu achirim ochli mimal shar. If other people think it's fine. V'lachen mutar li v'ror hayerek shekorin shalaitim. Whatever it is. Min ilan ha-mushvin shebo. Kmashal ochla batosudra. Okay, don't worry about that now. And this is the line I want to show you. Ha-borer ochla mutak psalat. So again, you're taking food from psalat b'yado. V'nichel afilu libo b'yo. Nasa k'borer lo'itzer v'chayav. If you're separating even food from psalat with your hands, to leave it there later on in the day, that would be a problem. Meaning, you need to do miyad. It has to be for immediate use. What's called samach lasuda. And when we see from here, you must take ochel from the psalat, not psalat from ochel. Now, so based on this, these are all the conditions. Okay? So the conditions are with your hand. Conditions are immediate use. And the third condition is you must take food from salat. And the question is, how come if all these three conditions are met, it's mutar lechatchila? You follow? Why is, I'll give you an example. If you want to, let's say you have a zimalacha, and this zimalacha is called writing. You can't write on Shabbos. So if I write with my left hand, that's a shinui. If it's a shinui, it's a rabbanan. Or let's say I write with ink, that's not permanent. It disappears after a few hours. Also, not malacha. So I don't understand. Why is it that I can do these things and it's mutar lechachila? We'll even give you shlishi and shul. We'll make you gabai. We'll honor you at a dinner. Right? Why is it that if you meet these conditions, it's permissible? It doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. What might be the rationale behind it? You follow? You understand my question? Again, if I have in Isser Doraisa, if I have a biblical prohibition, and I meet certain conditions, all of a sudden it's permissible. Understand, if separating is forbidden, it's forbidden. Since what's the rationale to say, oh yeah, you meet these conditions, it's permissible. What are you talking about? Right? How could you say, Shalom Aleichem. Wow, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi.
Where did you run out before I could see you?
Great to see you. Welcome. Baruch Hashem. Where were you for Shabbos?
Shabbos, I was down south.
That's it.
Okay. With Roni and Kayan and
Mikey. Very nice. He was here. He was the Skan Rosh Kolal. Yeah. Whew. Yeah. When? I think you're... 2009? It's 10 years ago. That makes sense. First year. It's 10 years ago. Okay. Now, okay. So you have a question? The question is why? What happened? What's the rationale? What might be the rationale?
We saw a similar thing in Dutch. We saw a similar thing for Dutch. That if you do it, in the home and stuff like that, it's not considered Dutch because one's like a commercial process, and one's like a...
So you malacha basada versus malacha in your house.
Yeah, one's like a commercial process.
Mm-hmm.
On a large scale, industrial process. And one is like a smaller personal...
Okay, good. And the question is, so but by doing that, what are we now saying about our malacha? Meaning, am I still doing a malacha?
there are certain things we have to take out of the realm of calling it malacha because we need to sort of live day to day. And separating seems to be one of these like wide sweeping sort of ideas.
And cooking not?
Yeah.
Like, let me give you an example. Can I cook on Shabbos?
No, but cooking I think is a lot more defined in terms of what you have to be doing than borer. Like, you're separating lots of things. To do your go about your day to day actions, you're constantly separating things. So I think that we have to.
Just like a kul of chachamim.
Not quite a kul of chachamim.
Kul of Torah.
Right. Here, my question. Like, what? How are we going to? How can we define this better? So, you could argue. And this is what we did by Dash. I think this was language we used. If we didn't, let me know. You can sometimes do a malacha that when you do, even though maybe the result of getting there is such a deviancy of what the malacha really is, you didn't do the malacha. Maybe the language is like a shinui gadol. Right? Like a shinui ktsat renders you a derabanan, and a shinui gadol is mutol chachila. Right? Like, this is not borer. So when you define borer, you don't define borer is when you want to do borer, what do? You, generally speaking, most people forget halacha. On a Tuesday, what would you do in a situation where you had bones with your fish? On a Tuesday, what would you generally do? You take your fork and your knife, and then you remove the bones. So, right? Most people remove psalat when they want to do border on a Tuesday, right? Right? Is that not true? I think most of the people do. You cut away your bones and you put them to the side, and then you have your fish, right? So, by taking the food first, it's already not what you normally do. That's one. Two. So maybe fish is a bad example when it comes to sifting, right? But generally speaking, borer is generally done, and for sure that was the case. Remember, the case that was on the, when you want to go with Turas HaPas, it was done with a sifting item. So you're not even using a sifting item, you're using your hand. So even already using your hand isn't real borer. Borer is done with a sieve, with a, I wouldn't call it a sifting machine, but it's a sifting utensil. So by using your hand, that's also not like borer. You generally do sifting with a utensil. And you generally do sifting when you're... Remember, let's go to the malacha. What was the malacha that they're referring to? As we said many times, it's they had all these kernels on the floor and they were mixed in with some clumps of dirt and they put it into a sieve in order to remove the dirt. When you do that, you're not doing that to eat right away. You're doing it to eat later. So by using a sieve... And by not using a sieve, by eating it right away, and by taking the food first, that's nothing to do with borer. That's called eating. It's such a shinui. It's nothing to do with the malacha that was done in the Mishkan, in the process of Torah Depas. And since it was so different, it's yotzim, a parsha of borer. Take a look at Rashi. Look at the language of Rashi. Gotta find it. Where is it? Oh, my eyes are. Sorry, I had about 2.5 hours sleep last night. Not because I wanted to.
You want less, or?
What? And then which one? I meant to mark it off. Where is that? Oh, here it is. I found it. Patra Val Asr. He says a few places. Okay, so it's Rashi, Patra Val Asr. Mutar Lachatkhila. Why? The Lohave de Dami Lebreira. Oh, that's what I wanted to show you. That Rashi says it's not Dami Lebreira. And once you're doing something which is not Doma Leborer, you haven't done anything.
That's the Papa
Yes, agree. But I want to show the first stage, meaning already not using a sifting item, it's not borer. So it's only the rabbana. You follow? But what I want to show you is that since borer is done with the sieve, the moment you don't use the sieve, it's not really borer. It's kolachar yad. So there's already a first shinui. Right? The ikar brim aval biyad lo dami leborer. Ah, aval biyad lo dami leborer klau. And when you use that, your hand isn't borer. Even taking the bone away first, it's not really borer. Real borer is a sieve out in the field using a sieve in your kitchen, right? It's not. Then if you go down again, ochel mitoch psalat. So when you take ochel mitoch psalat, Rashi, lo derech breira hi. Next, Rashi, o borer o meneach la'altar. Le'echel la'altar, she'en zeh derech borer. Rashi seems to say over and over and over again, it's not borer, it's not borer, it's not borer. Okay. So I think what Rashi's trying to say here is, yes, it's true at the end of the day, a result in eating my fish without bones, right? Or my soup without the fly. But I didn't really, we have to put our heads, have to be wrapped around, the borer is really with a sieve. Oh, in your field, removing those things. So once there's a way you can do, yes, it's true. My net result is this is now edible. But just because something is edible in my kitchen at my meal, that's still not the same as the real classic case of borer. It's so removed from it, it's modalachim. Yes, I gotta meet these conditions. Once I meet these conditions, I've removed myself from the malacha so much so that's Modal Chila, that's a Rosh Hashim, but highlight. And Tosos, by the way, I think we'll agree with that. Yeah?
You say that in the Yerushalmi that wouldn't apply because it's with Dizan Ochel.
Okay, so it could be very good. It Shalmi could be the Yerushalmi. Won't agree with that definition.
It's always tear.
What?
Maybe it's tear and don't work at all in Yerushalmi. Is that too far distant?
Because for the Yerushalmi, it's Dizan Ochel. Once you do Metaki in Ochel, I don't care how you Metaki in Ochel, this is Zaraisa.
I would say so.
Could be.
It's about the process.
Right, so, right. I haven't done the process. Right? Oh, you're saying from the Rishami, forget about the process. Right, exactly.
Couldn't you argue, by the way, that something is taking good out of... Like, you're going for the good, not going for the bad. Or are you... It seems to be unanimous that you're taking the bad from the good with sifting. Which also makes sense, but it depends on your...
Oh, you're saying because the bad falls to the bottom, I'm already taking the good out?
Yeah, I mean... You could look at it both ways, but
yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Because what I left in my
the bottom.
Right. I hear what you're saying.
You go after this.
But I'm. Yeah. I think the only time I ever use a sieve is with pasta. Oh, yeah. Pour water to drain it out.
Yeah.
I cannot think of any other case. By the way, I'll tell you, this is important to know, that when you know when you buy blueberries? When you buy blueberries, they come in these plastic packaging that has holes in them. So you can't wash your blueberries in there. Isn't that borer?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I don't mean on Tuesday. I don't care what you do on Tuesday. I mean, I care what you do on Tuesday. But not when we're talking about Shabbat. I don't care what you do on Tuesday. Right? But that would be a problem, right? To wash your blueberries in these plastic containers, frozen them, is a problem. I'm not saying it's d'oraisa, but you can't do it. You have to take them, which is super annoying. And put your hand in, you got to remove them, and rinse them that way. Put them on a plate and like rub it, right? It's a little annoying.
You have to take them out of the water, right? How do you get them out of
the
water?
Then you got to take them one by one, right.
Yeah.
You can't drain the water out.
Yeah, it's a problem. Also, like, you can.
But also, it's not something you want to do Friday afternoon for Shabbos afternoon, you know.
Yeah. Like things, cans of things which are in water.
Also. Yeah, those are an issue, right? Yeah. Open it with cans. That's a whole different thing we have to
do. But yeah,
the
cans already open.
Cans already open. Right. Those are whole. Whatever.
Make it sort of out of your hands.
Like, no, that would be a problem. Oh, you're saying it's biad?
Yeah.
No.
Does it have shame sieve?
But you can't use your own hand. Use someone else's hand. How can you put your own hand? You do that.
Well, somebody else has to put them in.
Yeah. It's not, so therefore, your hand would be okay. What? Let's. And by the way, Tosfos seems to say the same thing. Oh, thank you, very good. Bora ochel v'ochel mitok psolat. I just want these tosos. Mashma, the ochel mitok psolat ein derech perei rabekach. Okay? Hey, seems to, I keep hearing a question, but it's not a real issue. Okay? So it appears now, not everyone's going to agree. If you take all this Ramban, the bond with the hand, that will end with this, because we only have a few minutes left. Ramban seems to suggest something a little bit different. And he wants to argue that it has nothing to do with Shinui. He's going to have a different definition. Go down to can I find? Okay, so he. It's not exactly what I want. Okay, it's we could. If you take a look at the. Okay, he doesn't say it. I missed the part that I needed, but the Ramban is actually going to use the words derech achila, and not here. But his definition is that since something, meaning what makes these three things permissible, not because it totally is mishana the malacha, because he looks at the net result. Rather, he says this is considered derech achila. We saw this by Dash. We saw the exact same machloket by Dash. That is this considered a total shinu, it's not part of the malacha, or no? Since it's derech achila, that's what makes it mutter. And we're going to see this, and that's, I mentioned my dash, I don't know if you remember, it was a while ago already, when I said this machlokas by dash, we're going to see this is a machlokas, many different malachos, is when you do a major shinui, so to speak, does it remove it from the malacha, or does it make it derech achila? Okay, what might be the nafka minas? I think we'll touch on it next week, but there might be an nafka mina, halacha l'maisa, between these two. Is it total shinui, or is it all about malacha at all? Okay, we'll see that maybe down the road. Okay, so let's stop here for today. What I want to do going forward is I want to deal with the idea of Shnei Minei Ochlin and the subjectivity and objectivity. Do you need two food items? Also, I want to talk about Boyer by non-food items. That's also going to come up as well because with these things and a few other examples, we'll be able to come back and see how our definition of what Boira might be, we'll see how it plays out, both from a definition, halacha l'maisa, practical, and there'll be a few sugyas which I think might help us navigate these definitions over the next few weeks. So the plan is that we are on for the next.
Next week there's Cole has a morning thing here.
Right, but we're still on, meaning, like, I think we're still on, I think we're going to go straight till Shavuos. Shavuos is a Sunday. So that'd be hard to learn, but I think we're going to go straight till Shavuot. Well, today is, what, the 22nd day of the Omer, so we have, what, 4 weeks, right? So I think we'll go for the next 3 weeks, and we might, depending on what the story is, even the Sunday after Shavuot, we can discuss who's in town, who's leaving, whatever, but definitely I think until Shavuot, we're on every Sunday. Works for me. Hopefully we'll see. Okay, let's end there. Just go on there for today.